Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So you and I met at RomanticyCon, which Yay. Was amazing. But you haven't met Cass yet, who I think is your new number one fan.
Oh my God.
I might be. I loved your book, okay? Like, it's moved to, like, my top five. I have already started re-listening to it. My husband has heard me talk about it all week. And I also have, like, a really embarrassing story to tell you.
Great meeting you at RomanticyCon. That was such a fun con. I had such a great time.
A core memory for life. I met the best people, the coolest authors. I met some amazing vendors. It was incredible.
There was so
and that was my first con ever.
There. Was it really? Oh, that was a good one to go to. That was my first time at RomanticyCon. I've done other cons before, but that one I'd never done before, and it was just amazing. And I just think they did so well, and like everybody was. Really, it was good vibes all around. It felt like on my end of it anyway.
Everyone was so nice and so kind the whole time. Everyone was helping each other and making sure everyone was taken care of. So yeah, I have nothing but the highest regards for that con. So we hope to be there this year as well.
Yes, me too. I hope so too.
Hey, Cass, do you want to get us started?
Yes. Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. I'm Cass.
And I'm Dallas.
And I'm Jade Presley.
We are hanging out with Miss Jade Presley, the author of The Never List. And book two is coming May 19th of this year, The King's List. So we're super excited to have you here. Before we get into it and dive into these questions, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became an author, and kind of where you got the idea for The Never List.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So I've wanted to be an author since I was in second grade. My teacher gave us an assignment she brought in this little stack of hardback books that were blank. And she was like, you get to write about whatever you want to write about. And then we worked on it all week and we drafted up all the drafts and then we put it into the hardback books. And I was like, never do I want to do anything else with my life ever again. And so from that day on, I worked toward being an author. I went to college and majored in creative writing, and I was already a book nerd, so I just read and consumed all of the books that I could consume. And so I got really lucky, and I just started writing about 10 years ago, and I've been an author, a published author ever since. Jade Presley, so I started off in young adult. Jade Presley is a pen name. My real name is Molly E. Lee, and I started off in young adult. So I was doing all the, the angst and the tension and the first kisses. And I decided after a while I wanted to do something totally completely opposite from young adult. And that's kind of how the Jade Presley name was born. I didn't want my teenage readers to find my Y Choose stuff. And so, yeah, I went completely the different direction and decided I'm going to play around with the Y Choose. I'm going to self-publish it and just see if any girls like it. And it was kind of Marvel inspired, very nerdy, very spicy. And I put that book out and I found my audience of nerdy girls who love spice. And so it was such a wonderful experience. Book Talk really took off with that book. once I was closing out that series is when the idea for the Neverlist came to me. Of course, it was like I was in the middle of closing out that series and a new idea came to me. But my publisher, who had published my young adult work, was asking, like, what's this pen name? What's going on with it? And I told her my new idea and she loved it and was like, well, what if we actually like publish it and put it out there? And I never even thought about a Why Choose for traditional publishing before, because I just didn't know if it was something that a traditional house would want to do. And they loved the idea of the Neverlist. And yeah, the rest is history.
Amazing. That's so cool. I have yet to read your other series, but now that I've read this one, I'm sure I'll be diving in pretty soon. So, The Neverlist is about Riley Gray, who is from the Ashlands, right? And she essentially falls into this thing where she has to fall in love with four princes at once, right? To become their mate. How did you come up, one, with the four boys and their personalities and their names? And also, was it hard to keep all of them straight? Because that seems like, writing-wise, it would be pretty crazy.
It is definitely a lot of characters to juggle, but that is something that I love about Why Choose, because there is such a challenge in it, because there's so many main characters, like, on the page and in your face, and so I love playing with it. So the Neverlist, so Riley was the one to come to me first, and so I'm very character-driven, and so she came to me, like I said, I was finishing up a series, I had no business thinking about any other work, and that's always when the character comes in, and she came to me, and she kind of just laid it out. She was like, super pissed about being at this royal event. I don't like royals. And then these guys chose me. And so she walked me into this story. And it was just so visceral that I saw that first scene at the choosing with like the glass floor and the part. And she just didn't want to be there when I was like, it looks like a fun party. I want to be there. Why don't you want to be there?
I also would like to be there. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, right. It looks like a good time, like all the food and the champagne. And I was like, why don't you want to be there? And so once she started really talking to me, so she came to me first, her voice was very easy to slip into. The boys, on the other hand, were a lot harder. And so my writing process, I'll spend time with my characters first and I'll sketch out each one. Sometimes I spend weeks with them, other times less if it's, you know, if they're really talking to me on their own, which the boys were not. Cal came to me first. I did have to search up their names, but his voice came to me first. And of course, it was him that came to me first because he's my little cinnamon roll. He's so sweet. He's like, let me walk you through this, babe. And he was so nice. And he's like, I'll introduce you to the rest of the guys. So it was really cool. His voice came to me first and he kind of was like, okay, this is my friend. And they just kind of all developed on their own. And I feel like I tend to have, like, I'll have a cinnamon roll, I'll have a dark, broody guy, I'll have an intellect, and then I'll have a goofball. I don't know why, that just always comes out in when I'm doing the Why Chooses. And so, yeah, they kind of developed like that. But the order that Riley gets to go to their cities is actually the order that they came to me with their voices developed. Jax was my hardest, so that's why he was the furthest out. Because he was like super stubborn. He is very much like, you have to earn my conversation, which was very hard for me to do. And so that's why he is last. But yeah, it's hard to keep them all the straight. But once I started really learning their voices, it was a little bit easier to just slip into them when it was their turn to actually have their point of view. That was a really long answer. Sorry.
No, that's amazing. Yeah, just listening to it, I was like, I have no idea how she could even write something like this. Like, even listening to it, I'm like, they're so well done where you instantly know each boy, you know, just by what you're reading and how different they are. So I really loved how you drew their personalities out, like, on the page and wrote it. So
thank you so much. That's always a goal, because, like, I want you to be able to flip open the page or listen and be like, okay, if you didn't see the character heading, I wanted you to know whose voice you were in. And a lot of it is in Riley's voice. But when the boys come out, I didn't want it to be like, wait, who's talking? Because that would make it really hard and just, it might just blend together. And I wanted them to all stand on their own. I think that's important in a Why Choose. You don't want just like a copy and paste. So it was something that was, I actively worked on to make sure. And again, as the time goes on, they really develop into these like fully fleshed voices in my head, which sounds crazy, where I can't even do anything with them. Like, I couldn't make them say anything if I wanted to, you know? It sounds crazy, but that's how it always ends up working out.
So I know that you said that Cal came to you first. Did, like, with all of their names, was there a struggle to find all of their names? Was there, like, certain things that sparked as you were going along with this process? Or how did you figure out all of their names?
Yeah, so when I'm doing my character sketches, I kind of learn and listen to them a little bit before I learn their names. And so when Cal was talking to me, I learned that he's a very, like, again, he's a very loving, that's like his almost his weakness. Like he just sees the best in people. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of I started researching names that kind of gave off that vibe. And so that's, once I learn their personalities, then I go and research like the meaning behind names and kind of try to dive a little bit deeper and make it a little bit connected to the character and their personality. Axel was the one that gave me the hardest time with his name. He was the last one I named because he like was messing with me the whole time. Like he would not tell me his name. He was just goofing around. And so finally when we landed on Axel, I was like, okay, this is who you are. This is great. This fits. But I went through like, you know, I went through tons of research and I had all these different names and none of them fit him. So he was my absolute hardest, but I try to dive into their personalities first and then I'll go and research name meanings and make sure it fits their vibe and their cultural background and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah, so cool.
So I personally am a new mom, but I'm huge into audiobooks because that's literally the only way I can get through anything right now. But what was the process like for choosing Michelle and Jake? And like, what moment did you hear them that you were like, yes, I want these two?
Yeah. So it's actually a really fun process. So the cool thing about being a hybrid author is I've got to see both sides of it. I've done it independently. And then I've also with a traditional publishing house. And so Red Tower, doing it through them, they're the ones who are like, well, they go through the audio company and then they bring me little clips, right? And they're like, what do you think about this? And what do you think about how this sounds? And so for Michelle, I didn't even need, because normally you can go through a bunch before you like actually find the one you're like, yes, that one's clicking. Because all of these audio narrators are always super talented. And so it's hard. You're like, they're all good, but it's not Riley, right? I didn't have to do that. I got so lucky with Michelle because when she read, they had sent her, I think it was very rough too, the first like 50 pages. So it's super embarrassing. It was not the final script yet, but they sent it to her and she just read this little clip. And I was like, she did some of her dialogue and I was like, that's her, that's Riley. And so I got really lucky with her. And then Jake, it was great because he was next and I'd already listened to him through the Zodiac Academy series. So like I listened to that a couple years ago and I was like, it's Jake. Oh my gosh. Yes. I was like, I didn't even need to listen because I knew his voice. Oh my gosh. And I loved him. So I felt like I hit the audio narrator lottery. And I definitely had told Red Tower I wanted it to be at least dual because of how, you know, it's a why choose and there's so many different characters and voices. And I was a little worried because, again, it's four guys. That's a lot to take on. But when they said it was Jake, I was like, oh, he's going to be fine. Because the Zodiac Academy has a ton of male characters, too. And he always brought such a great nuance to each of those characters. And I'm like, he's going to just eat this up. And he did. He ate it so well. And I love him. He's like such a great person. And so I feel like I hit the lottery with the narrators for sure.
That was going to be one of my questions for you was like, was there ever an option where you were thinking about just having it be one narrator, whether it was always going to be dual narration? So I feel like you did obviously make a really good choice with that. And I do think you picked two very good narrators. That's so incredible.
I do. I always say that I'm like, I hit the lottery because like I didn't have to like dig for them. They were just, they just brought it. So I felt super lucky.
It was
lucky.
Meant to be.
Yeah.
For book two, should we expect the same set of narrators or is that classified still?
It's not classified. Still, this is, again, with traditional publishing, it is not up to me. Like, I mean, it's up to me, but it's not.
Right.
I would assume at this point, I would assume it would be the same narrators since they just knocked it out of the park. But I honestly don't have final control over that. So I have not got the word yet, but I'm pretty, I mean, I would assume it would be the same ones. And at least that's what I've been putting in for. Like, I'm hopeful that it will be the same, but I actually haven't got the final word yet. So we will have to see.
I think it would be a good decision for them to make it, you know, readers, especially like book talk, things like that. We like things that match and that go together. Yes. So it would make sense, I think, to keep the narrators as is. So the story flows the same.
Absolutely. And then they're just so in the characters too, that I think it would be really difficult for somebody to come in after that, you know, after them spending so much time with them and just being able to slip into that voice. So I'm very hopeful. I just don't have the final word yet. So I haven't been able to like officially announce, but I will when I know.
Yeah. So, and that's what I was going to ask as well. Like, are there other updates for book two that you are allowed to say?
Well, I am deep into edits on it right now. I've lost track on which paths we are on edits, but I am loving it with each pass, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. We get to dig into the world a little bit more and we get to see it expand a little bit more, which I'm very excited about. Because so Riley, if she's alive, I mean, we don't even know. She starts off the series in the Neverlist from the Ashlands, right? So she doesn't, the only things that she knows is what she's been allowed to know about the world. And then what she's secretly learned from her friends who she sneaks across the borders to be with. So she knows a little bit more than some of the other Ashlanders, but she doesn't know nearly enough. And I think that's kind of a theme in book two, is just like her finding out, you know, more and more as she goes along. So that's really fun. I feel so lucky with that whole edition.
It's beautiful. That's a beautiful edition, honestly. The cover caught my eye so fast.
I'm so glad.
You know, you try not to judge it. You know, you don't judge a book by its cover. But sometimes when a cover catches your eye, you should go look at it and check it out, right? Like,
and it's getting harder and harder because everybody's coming out with like more and more amazing editions. And so I'm just like, oh, I need that. Wait, I already have that one. No, I want this one now. And it's just like, they're making it very hard on us.
And you have a special edition coming out for book two as well, correct?
Yes, I do. I'm so excited. I can't wait to like actually hold it. The edges with the gold flowers. And it's very much relates to the book, which I really love. And it's giving off this, it's like a transition, the vibes of the different books. Like, I really love it. And I think they're going to look really pretty together. I know it's kind of a different take, but I really love it. I think they're going to look great together.
Yeah, they're beautiful. We are excited to get them on our shelves, too.
Thank you.
Talking to you, Red Tower, wherever you are.
Yeah. Red Tower. I keep getting asked about, like, when will ARCs go out? And I don't have an official date yet because we are still in edits. I mean, we're getting further along, but it really is just, it's a matter of like everybody's schedules coming together at that right moment. And then we get to put the ARCs out. So I'm very excited, but I don't have a date yet.
Well, and I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, right? Like, you're the author. This is your story. This is your baby that you're creating, right? So I think as readers, we just need to remind ourselves that this is not instant print, right? You're not a typewriter 24/7. So I think as readers need to take a moment, take a step back, take a breath, and just patiently wait for your creation to be complete to your satisfaction so that we can enjoy it as well. So you take your time.
I love it. And I have a really great team. Like, me and my editor, we work so well together, and she just gets me and sees me. And so we're having so much fun with it. And just, we're trying to make sure that we're giving as much as we can with the page space that we're allowed. And so it is kind of that, like, okay, is this really vital or is this just fun for us to do? And so it's like going back and forth and figuring out, okay, we need the vital stuff only. Because if it were up to me, I'd probably have like, you know, a 1,000-page book, but like, which nobody needs that right now. So that's why we have series and we chop it up. So it's been a really wonderful process for sure.
Oh, so cool.
I think if I was an author, I would take forever on making the cover and everything, because I am a perfectionist when it comes to that. So I'd probably be like, this looks great. Now, can I change this actually too? My book would probably never be published. I would just mess with it all the time.
It is tough. Like, especially if like looking at older works that have already hit the shelves, and it's like, you know, you can't do anything else with that. And you're just like, I'm terrified of like opening it and finding like one of the typos that we inevitably miss, because I feel like we always miss one, even though by the time it gets to the shelf, I've read it like 200 times. Like, I can't even tell you how many times I've read it. My editor even more so. And then there's copy editors and line editors. There's so many people that it's gone through. And then like, still one will slip by us all. And it's just because like our brains are auto-correcting. And I'm like, no. And like, you see it. And it's just like, it's forever, because there's nothing else you can do about it. So that's always really hard.
I know you talked a little bit about this at the beginning. I'm kind of going to circle back to it, though. But you had your first series that was YA, and then you had this Why Choose Now. So maybe what is one thing you learned from writing that first series as an author, and either something how you preference or something that you learned, and what did you take with you to this series?
Oh, that's such a great question. Because, I've gotten really lucky, and it was about 10 years ago that my first young adult series got picked up by Entangled. So I've been working with them forever, which is wonderful. It's a really good team to be a part of. But I think it's like, it's almost like with each edit, I've learned something new about myself as a writer, which is awesome. It's almost like you work with different editors who have different skills, who then teach you those skills, and then you take them into your next book, and you make sure you're like, okay, I'm going to be so prepared now for this next book because I learned this. And then you're like, oh, wait, you learned something new on that book. And it kind of like, it just snowballs into, you just never stop learning in this profession, I think. One of the things that I've taken from that beginning point to now writing this series is probably just the formula of it almost, because when I first started, I started way too early. Like my first couple of drafts were like buried in a drawer somewhere. Like nobody's ever going to read those. Like they were so bad, but I like had the confidence of bravado and like went and like tried to get an agent with them. And it's just, it's so bad. Like I kind of miss that, like that delusional, like I don't know the other side of the curtain, you know, like now I do. And I know like the formula of how things work and how long things can take and how many amazing writers are out there and how much is, there's a competition, not a competition, but like, there's just so many, there's so many great books out there. It's hard to get them all out at once. And you'll find similarities in stories and you're just like, oh no, then they're going to think that. And so I think maybe it's just like the formula of it and the business side of it that I have finally, I think I've tried to mesh them finally, because it's really hard to go from just, it's pure creative vibes to, oh no, this is actually a business and we have to work with all kinds of different people and we have to all somehow cohesively make it out. And then it turns into this hardback book at the end. And so I think that's one thing I've learned is the formula of it. Plotting more specifically, I'm a big plotter. And so I wasn't in the beginning. I was very much like, oh, it's all going to work out. But when you have deadlines, you have to, there's things you have to hit. There's word counts you have to hit. You have to make sure it's in on time because you have to leave time for edits. And so it's like a very cogs in a wheel business side of it that I had to learn over the past 10 years. And of course, the minute I say, I think I've got it, it's like, nope, there's something new you need to learn. So I'll never say that I got it, but I feel like when I was going into the Neverlist, I felt very confident about that combination of creativity and business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a question that when you were obviously indie at first with your YA and then you went traditional, was it hard to keep your voice as far as fighting for what you wanted in your series or in your book, or was that given to you already? Because I know that there is a huge difference between being independently published and traditionally published. Like, how does that work?
Again, I think I got really lucky. I have never really lost my voice. It's definitely sharpened and developed over time. And so I think that's something that I went into it very excited to learn from the people who had been in the business much longer than me. And so when I went into it with that kind of mindset, I wasn't really fighting for anything. You know, there wasn't any, I was like, oh, this makes sense why they're saying this maybe needs to be unpacked more, or maybe we need to cut this. And so I kind of approached it as a learning and to hone my craft from the experts when I went into traditional publishing, but it's because of course I had taken classes and I had read all the books and I had hired professional editors for my independent stuff, but there was something different when it came into having a team. Because like, that's the difference. Like with traditional publishing, you have a team of people and it's with a team of opinions about your work when they get their eyes on it, you know? And so that's a lot of different people coming at you with a lot of different ideas about your story. And so I think I got really lucky that I've got to hold on to my voice while also learning how to keep sharpening it over time. And so I never really felt like I was battling anything, because of course I can do whatever you can do whatever you want when you're independently publishing. But I was really excited and willing to learn from the traditional side of it. So it's been really fun to do both sides, because I've continued to self-publish and traditionally publish all these 10 years. So I feel super lucky in that regard. And both of them have helped me in both areas. Like on the independent side, I get to really connect with the readers and they get to tell me all these like fun fan theories and what they wanted to see more of. And I do listen and I take that with me to the next project. And then just like with the editors at the publishing house, I can take that and be like, well, my audience really loves this, so we need to make sure we work that in. And it kind of all like melds together, which is pretty cool. So that's been really amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, and I really love that. And I feel like I hope that is the journey for all indie authors that eventually become traditionally published, because it sounds like you had such like a good time and you learned a lot and it's going really well, which is amazing.
Yes, thank you. That's what I try to tell when like baby authors will come to the table, you know, at a con or something, and they'll ask me for advice. And I try to tell them to just, because I know it's hard to take criticism, especially on something that is so incredibly personal as your story. I mean, it's so hard to just be like, oh, here's my heart and it's on a platter and now it's up for public review. And so I try to tell them that like, if they can somehow compartmentalize that, because like, we're all going to have bad reviews. Like, you're not going to be able to get away from that. And you're going to have edits that you probably don't agree with or that may sting in the moment. But if you can take it from almost like an educational stance and, oh, this is how I become better, this is how I level up, it kind of makes it easier if you look at it almost like that side of it versus, no, this is a personal attack on my heart. You know, mm-hmm. that's something that I try to tell them to separate if they can. And that it makes right. the journey so much easier to know that, like, you have a collective team that is rooting for this story. They're not trying to chop it down. Most of the time, I can't speak for all editors. There yeah. can be, I know I've seen some malicious editors out there before. I've never worked with any, but I've seen them in the world before. And I'm like, okay, yeah. that person's just not in a good mood. They shouldn't be reading that book right now. Mm-hmm. But like, just the collective team wanting your story to succeed. And that's why they're giving you notes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it makes their journey a lot smoother and easier. And it doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so with book two, I know there's, again, not too many things that you can give us because you're still in the editing process. Spice level. Book one was spicy. Are we expecting the same amount of spice? Are we getting spicier? Can you tell us that?
Well, it's going to be spicy because it's a white juice. Right. I would say we're leveling up just a little bit because, you know, if she's alive, all the characters know each other. All the characters know each other now, right? We've gone through that. And we're not, obviously they don't know each other like, oh, we've been together 20 years or whatever. But they have earned each other's trust in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that always levels up intimacy when you have that full trust and that full, just you feel safe. And I feel like you can get your most intimate and your most spicy when you feel safe with your partner or partners. And so we're leveling up a little bit, just a little bit, maybe.
Yes. I love that. I love that. More chili peppers.
Thank you. We're having a lot of fun with that.
So before we get to our fun rapid fire questions for you, I guess I'll tell you my super embarrassing story. It's a little embarrassing. Okay.
No, you're
gonna
love it.
So you're probably going to laugh. Laughed at myself after. So, you know, it's fine. But I was listening to the audiobook. Okay. And it has been, I don't know, probably a month or so since I talked to Dallas about, you know, I'm going to read this book. We're going to meet with her, all of this stuff. So everything we talked about went right out my brain after having a baby. So it was like for sure. 2 a.m. I'm laying in bed. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to like listen to the book, you know, start to chill out. My husband has the baby for the night, whatever. And I'm listening and I'm at the end. I didn't know I was at the end. Okay. And so she's like, I will always choose you. And then it goes, this is the end of the Never List. And I literally sat up and screamed. And I was like, what? And my husband like whipped around with the baby because the baby was sleeping. And he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, it just ended on a cliffhanger. I thought this was a standalone book. No book two coming in my brain. So I was like, are you kidding me? So I Googled it really quick. I was is there book two for Never List? And it popped up and I was like, everything's fine. It's fine. But he was like so shocked. And he's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I thought this was it. And Dallas didn't warn me because she was already done. I was so worried. And then I was like, everything's fine.
I'm so sorry. And that's so hard with the audio too, because it's like, there's not, the warnings just don't get, because it is warned that it's a cliffhanger, but there will be a book too. But and then for some reason it's listed as standalone right now, which is a total typo. That's definitely not a standalone. And I've been getting that question a lot. And I'm like, I have no idea why that's there. So yeah, I'm so sorry. But yeah, with audio, that's happened to me too, where I'm like, wait, that was the end? We can't be at the end. And it's like, because you don't have those pages or that swipe to tell you. So it's like a super fun surprise. Yeah.
It's also been it's been like my nighttime relaxing routine. So I'm like, I'm just listening to my book, having a good time.
No,
this is like going along. And then it was just like, bam. And I was like, what? What is happening?
It's 2 a.m. It was very brutal. It was very brutal. I know. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It was so good, though.
Thank you. Yeah, it hurt me, too, to write that ending. I was, but I knew that's when I was like, oh, okay, this is the end. Because I felt it so intensely that I was like, okay, this is where we're ending. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But I get to go write the right next one. Like, I get to dive right into it. Like, I'm already working on book three right now, which is super fun. I'm writing that as I'm editing book two. So
that's
really fun.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm very lucky and bratty because I get to just know what's going to happen, but then you guys all have to wait. So I'm sorry.
We have to wait.
It's okay.
Are you planning for 3 books or is there more?
Right now feels very much like it will be complete at 3. I obviously can't.
Okay.
I could never say never because if I like my characters take me on a side quest in book 3 that makes it longer, then I'll certainly do that. But at this moment, and since I'm a plotter, I've already plotted it out like chapter by chapter. So it feels very complete just through plotting. But sometimes when I actually sit down to write, they'll be like, kidding, side quests. Kind of like I never plotted for Jax to take so long to come around. But digging into his character more, he's got a lot of self-worth issues, man, that we've got to work out. So,
he sure does. Yes.
But you never fully know, but right now I do feel like it'll be 3.
What advice would you give to your readers going into book 2?
Advice?
Or like anything that they need, or like should they read it all at once? Is it like a read it all at once? Or should they take their time?
Honestly, I feel like that is going to be up to how much you want to consume in a moment. Because I know with Why Choose, it can be a lot. Like, because there's so many romantic arcs happening. There's so many emotional arcs happening between the characters. So sometimes that can be a lot and you do have to take it in chunks. I've had people tell me they've read The Neverlist in 24 hours, which I'm always shocked by that they can consume it that quickly. And then I've had people be like, no, I needed to space it out because it was so much, because not everybody is used to having the 4 partners, especially when they all are together at once. So honestly, I would say just listen to your own instincts when you're diving through it. And yes, there will be another cliffhanger. So be prepared for that.
Good to know. I'll keep that mental note for myself.
If you scream now the second time around at 3 a.m., that's on you, babe.
Hey, no, you're not held to any standard because, man, when you have those babies, trust me, I've got 2. I totally understand. My first did not sleep ever. So I barely remember the first, 2 years of her life. She never slept. She's 12 now. She's almost 13. She finally sleeps. Now I have to drag her out of bed. But, literally, I thought we would never move past the stage of her just not sleeping. And I don't remember it. I don't remember anything about it, really, which is really sad. Yeah. I have pictures, and I'm like, I was there. So we won't hold it against you.
Not mentally. I appreciate it. You're in, a state of delusion where you're like, I don't know what things are and or words or days or sun or dark yet.
I mean, I'm surprised you're doing a podcast. Like, you're on top of it, girl. Like, that's amazing. I was, dying.
She's bouncing back so well.
Thank you. Yeah, you look like glowing. Like, I would never know.
I appreciate it.
Literally.
Put together. Like, girl, I'm jealous.
Thank
you. I literally could not even walk outside. Like, opening the front door, I was like, I can't. That's too much. Like, and she's like, I'm that girl.
Yeah, you're like discussing books. You're like, you're on it. I love it.
See, I was the opposite. I had a really rough pregnancy. So I was like, postpartum, I'm like, I'm okay. I'm like coming back into myself much faster than I thought I was going to. So I think it's maybe because I'm like, whew, I'm done with pregnancy. Thank goodness. Like, I'm so glad he's here because I was done.
It's so hard. I totally get it. So that's awesome. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
I love that.
All right.
Let's rapid fire. Okay. I've been waiting for you to ask these questions to her.
I am so nervous. He's always so excited.
I hope they're fun for you. They're going to be fun for us. But for our listeners, we have the 4 princes, just a little recap so everybody kind of remembers where we're at. We have Cal, who is named the Dreamer, and he has kind of this flying power. We have Axel, who is called the Player, and his powers are with water. We have Pierce, who is called the Mind, and he has mind control. And Jax is the Nightmare, and he can control emotions. So just a little rebrief for everybody. But okay. Rapid fire. If you could have any of the 4 boys' powers, which would you choose?
I love this question because it's not me choosing my favorite, which I can't ever answer that one. So I would absolutely have Pierce's mind powers. I think I'm fascinated by the way the brain works. And so anything to do with manipulating the brain or utilizing it to a crazy degree. Yeah, I would absolutely do the mind. For sure.
If you lived in any of the 4 boys' cities, which would you choose?
That's another great question. Now it's going to sound like I'm picking a favorite, but I would be in the Emerald Wood. I know this is so bad. It sounds like I don't have favorites, I promise. But I do love that when I was doing the Emerald Wood, I kind of imagined London, but cottagecore and mashing that together and having this serene place where you could go and eat snacks and drink tea and read books all day. And so I would absolutely live there if I could.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's a good vision. Yeah, I get it. Thank you. Buck, marry, kiss, kill for the four boys.
I can't kill any of them. But oh my gosh. Okay, let's just get Buck out of the way. I'm going to say Cal. Because again, like I was talking about, feeling safe is a perk. And he made me feel safe immediately when I started writing. But he also has that little like edge, like, oh, he's a sweetheart, but he can get a little, you know, a little intense. And also sky sex. That would just be fun. Like, you know.
Yes.
Okay. Lord. I'm probably going to marry Axel because he's going to make me laugh. Forever. Like, we're never going to get bored of each other. Like, even if we're old and, like, the passion is gone, we're going to have fun. Yeah. So I would say Axel for Mary. And then what's the other ones?
Kiss and kill.
Kiss. Okay, I'll kiss Pierce. I'm not killing Jax, though. We can't do it.
Yeah, we can't kill Jax. Jax. I'll be really upset.
Can we kill Beta? Let's just kill him.
Let's do that.
That sounds great.
Actually,
I'll allow it. Throw Jackson with the kissing, I guess. We'll just kiss. Let's kiss Pierce and Jax.
Okay.
Cal. All right. No, marry Axel, fuck Cal. There we go. Boom.
Okay.
That was hard.
Amazing. Yeah, really, right?
I know. It's a rough one.
I don't think I would survive killing one of them. I don't think I would.
That's fair. If you can describe book two, describe it in three words.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Three words.
Five words. You can do five words too.
This is.
It doesn't have to be in a full sentence. They can be like minimal words.
Okay. Maybe those are like vibes. Let's go vibes. So we've got rage. Rage is one of them. And this is funny because when I'm editing, I actually used the word rage way too much. So I feel like that has to be said. We've cut it way down. But I was very, very ragey while writing book two. So I would say rage.
I love that.
Discovery. Self-discovery. Okay. That vibe. And then I would say everlasting. I can't explain that one. But
Okay. That's a little bit of tea. Okay. That we don't know yet.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be up all night, like, brewing theories in my head.
Oh, no. Don't pick apart. I'm not Taylor Swift. But yeah, everlasting would be one of them. And it's just an undertone for so many of the arcs in the book, I think.
All right. Who forged Riley's documents?
My goodness.
She's trying.
You don't actually have to answer this, but I was if I say them fast enough, maybe I can sneak it in.
I would slip. Oh my gosh. Right? Yeah. That would be me. That would so be me. We do find out. I do know. Okay. I've always known. Okay. You do find out.
Of course. Okay.
You do find out who did it, and you do find out this book.
It'll be wrapped up. I have my guesses. You know? Yeah, me too.
You have your guesses? Me too. Ooh,
I have my guesses. I don't want to say because I don't want your face to give anything away.
I'll take a drink. You can do it. You can say it.
I think Sister did it. I think Sister saw her the first time and was like, help her.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning more towards that.
I could be totally off, but.
But I know at one point they're like, did Vado? But I don't trust him, but I don't know if that was you or not. I don't think he
was smart enough to think that through.
No.
He's a tough character, man. He is. He's hard.
Should we expect an arc from him, like a redemption, or can we hate him the whole time?
Oh, no, please.
I can't say, but he definitely has a lot of things to say.
Of course he does.
In the King's List, I mean, it is the King's List, and our boys are not kings yet. So
if that
hints at anything, it's not our boys' list. If we're getting a list from the kings, you know, Baydell's going to have a certain kind of vibe, and then Julian will have a different vibe, and Brooke.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we do have to hear from him a little bit more, even than I liked. Yeah, he's, I don't have any plans of redeeming him at all, but we'll see.
There's a lot. I only ask because in a lot of these books that, like, we deep dive and we do coverage for, I always am like, they're bad, but like they could be good.
Yeah.
So I just want to hate this one for real.
Right. Like, don't sneak on me. Don't like sneak me. Like, make me have feelings for this guy. No, we do learn a little bit more about him, but it's not. I don't think it's gonna be any kind of like revelation or anything. Yeah, he's the worst.
All right, last one. This is a why choose. But I'm going to make you. If you had to be with one, only one of them forever, who do you think you would pick?
She's never going to come on our show again.
I know. She's like, I actually Like, don't ever want to talk to you again.
No, I love this. I love this. It's just super, super difficult. And I think it's because the series is not done. So like for my independent series, which all five of those books are wrapped up, and they've been wrapped up for, I think, 2 years now. And so I know which character I miss the most. So I could easily tell you that one because I'm like, oh, I miss him the most. I want him back in my life. This one is hard because we're still in the middle of the series. If I had to choose, gosh, it's so hard. It's so, because I love all of them for different reasons, but I guess the one that would probably be able to tolerate me the most forever would probably be Pierce.
Okay.
Not that I have favorites, because I don't. I love them all so much.
Yes. Of course.
But if I could have them all meshed into one, you know, right? And it is funny. I get asked that all the time because I've been very happily married for almost 20 years now. And I married my best friend. And so they always ask me, like, which pieces, like, which character does he represent the most? And I'm like, he's got all these personalities. Like, he can be one on any given day. So I feel very lucky in that regard. But I think Pierce and me would be able to, like, hang out forever and not get bored or annoyed with each other.
Love that.
Yeah, it's hard, though. I love hearing your guys'. I love hearing the readers because it's always different. And I love that so much because it's never like, this is the fan favorite and there's all the other three guys are just like to the wind. So I always love hearing your guys'.
Cassie, who would you choose?
So, okay. It depends on how we're looking
at
it.
You said so, forever.
Yeah.
That's
true. Okay, so.
It's not a one night. It's not a 1 week. It's a forever.
Right.
Literally forever.
I always go for the like dark, brooding, grumpy bad boy. So my easy answer is Jax.
I love that.
I will say, when reading the spicy scenes, Axel, I could lean towards Axel though too. So if we're talking spice for forever, Axel. If we're talking forever with one of them, just in love, married, only have one, it would be Jax. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. That's what I love about a white choose, and you never really have to choose, but I love that. That's awesome.
Dallas.
I think Pierce would be my guy.
Really?
When you say because you said forever, right? Like I think if it was like temporary or like I think Jax would be really fun, right? But as far as like forever, I'm kind of emotional girly, and if he's like, hey girl, I'm already in your mind, I know what you need, I'm gonna make you some food and a snack and get you a drink, and you need a book, and he would just know. He would know immediately, and I wouldn't even have to ask, and I want that forever.
For everyone, I love that. That's one thing I love about Pierce is he's very emotionally intelligent. I mean, he has to be because he's super intelligent, but he's chosen to be emotionally intelligent, especially with his friends, his family, his partner. And I just, ooh, I love that. I love that. And I always say that when they're like, you know, foreplay is not just physical. It's like him knowing that she needs to go out with her girls. Like that scene where he's like, go out with your girls, go have tea, like go be with them. And just that emotional intelligence of
exactly,
you need this. I'm going to absolutely either provide it or support it. I'm totally about that. I find that so attractive in a man. So
yeah, Pierce is my green flag.
I love it.
Amazing.
Well, that's all I've got for you. So thank you so much. This has been amazing. For all of our listeners, please make sure you check out book 2, The King's List, which is coming out May 19th, 2026, this year. So
thank you. Yeah, I cannot wait for you guys to read it, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think about it. So thank you so much for having me.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.